Killer Monday. Banging right through it. We start our third and final hour. I am in Southern California. Coming up right after the show, I'm going to sit with and knock out a podcast, the RPO, Rome Price Opinion. It's co-hosted by Trevor Price, who played 14 years in the NFL. He won 2 Super Bowls, and this guy's got takes for days, stories for days. He's awesome. There's a reason why I picked him. And honestly, I really have not worked with anybody in a long, long time. But Trevor Price, when that opportunity presented itself, that was a no-brainer. And he's getting better every single week. And he's all in and all about it. So that's coming up later on today. In the meantime, I do want to talk some postseason baseball. If you're on hold, stay there. I've got time for telephone calls a little bit later up. We'll talk more about UFC 229, more about the NFL. But right now, it's got to be all about the postseason of Major League Baseball. We're joined by a 10-year MLB vet. He was the 9th pick overall in the 1994 draft. MLB on Fox, MLB Network Radio rep, Texas Rangers TV color analyst, and America's foremost expert on travel etiquette. In fact, I went to New York and back this weekend, and I saw some dog run up the aisle. This guy next to me said, man, I was not prepared for that. My response was, how could you be? None of us ever are. This dog ran right up the aisle. CJ Nikowski is my guest. CJ, good to have you back. How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing fantastic. No leash or anything? Just straight running up the aisle?
No, dude, he had a leash. It was like this little dog. I don't know what kind of breed it was. And, of course, the owner thought that was just the cutest, funniest thing ever.
That is fantastic. It wasn't. I think I told you that story where the guy in front of me was passed out drunk, got up to go to the bathroom. His dog got up, couldn't find him, and so his dog just walked to the back of the plane while the guy went to the bathroom in the front of the plane. He's just wandering around looking for his owner.
No, you had not told me that story, and I wish you would have.
So, an airplane.
Yeah, so how did that end?
You know what? It was funny. By the time the guy came out of the bathroom, the dog had made his way back to the seat. So the owner never even knew that his dog was just wandering the plane looking for him and eventually settled on just going back to the seat and waiting.
Yeah, I mean,
had no idea.
They know. They come home. They know.
Yeah.
And especially they know when their owner's blasted, I'm sure, too. CJ Nikowski.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Come on. All right, so I'm going to double back maybe. But, you know, there's so much baseball on right now, it's kind of hard to know even where to start or where to choose to start. But let me start with Milwaukee, who advanced with a sweep of the Rockies. There are a lot of different reasons for their success since the start of September. But, CJ, how much of that is about their bullpen specifically?
Without a doubt. You know, coming into the season, they were a team that everyone looked at and said, oh, it's nice. They picked up Christian Yelich. That's a really nice acquisition. And they signed Lorenzo Cain and seemed like they had way too many position players. But I think all of us that thought we knew what we were talking about were saying, that's great, but you don't have the starting pitching. There's no way you're going to be able to do this. And the starting pitching probably performed to about what they thought. They got a couple of guys that helped out a little bit more, like Wade Miley, when they were able to acquire him. And that was a big surprise because he struggled the last couple of years. But what they did was they leaned on their bullpen. And their starting pitching was just good enough. Not great, but just good enough to match really well with their pen. And this trend is coming in the game because it's so difficult to develop starting pitching that a lot of teams are realizing, man, these guys are much better in shorter stints. Let's just go with a stronger bullpen and an average rotation. I mean, the Kansas City Royals were the blueprint for that in 2015. They had a really average at best rotation, but the bullpen just killed it. And so other teams are starting to see that. They're copying it, and for the Milwaukee Brewers, without a doubt, that has been their blueprint.
All right, so if they run that playbook, if they use that blueprint, is that bullpen good enough to win at all?
They're pretty good. There's a couple of guys in there, I think, that people hadn't heard of, and they're maybe surprising some folks. You know, Milwaukee obviously is a small market, a lot of people paying attention necessarily to what they're doing. And if you start digging in and you start looking at some of these guys, you're realizing, hey, there's a couple of pretty good, effective guys here, but they don't have the big names. Guys like Corbin Burns has been really good. I think people know who Hader is now. But Soria, who used to be a closer, came over from the White Sox. He's not the same guy he was way back when. Jeremy Jeffress is having a bounce back year. They get it in the division series. They'll certainly be tested, whoever their next opponent is going to be, especially if it's going to be the Dodgers in the LCS over a 7-game series potentially will be a little bit tougher. But the arms are there as long as they don't have any major blowups. And that's always the risk that you run when you rely so heavily on your bullpen. Is that day that the one guy doesn't have it, it looks really ugly really fast because all of a sudden you're relying on everybody else a lot more. And then it's really hard to do that over a 7-game series because you eventually run out of gas.
CJ Nikowski joining us. All right, game 3 of the Boston-New York series tonight in the Bronx. What do you make of what you've seen from both those teams in the first 2 games?
Yeah, this is fun, and it's really amazing to think the fact that the Red Sox have won 108 games, and everyone's poking holes in what they do. And it's understandable. When you're that good and the expectations are that high, people are really going to put a microscope on your team, and it seems like they're finding the holes. And the holes are trying to get the ball to Craig Kimbrell with some consistency out of your setup relievers. That's been a problem. Rick Porcello and David Price, their roles on this team, and it's hard to believe because those are a couple of really good starters who got some hardware under their belt, especially David Price. I mean, you know, you would think at some point, I keep saying, well, he's not going to be this. He's not going to continue to be this bad as a starter in the postseason. There's no way. He's too good of a pitcher. And when you give him over $200 million, everyone's like, yeah, you know, you got to prove in the postseason. And he knew that. He knew that when he signed that deal, that we all believed he was going to be a good regular season pitcher. Who could you be in the postseason? And it's amazing that it's continuing, that he is now 0-9 and 10 postseason starts with an ERA over 6 in his career. And so that's a real struggle for them. And that's why you can look at a team as good as that lineup is, and the fact that they won 108 games, they have some serious pitching question marks. Now, they also deal with Chris Sale coming into this one, and he dominated. So he showed he was healthy. The fastball was down his last regular season start. It was dialed up to where we usually see it for the postseason. That has to happen. There's no way that they can make any kind of run without the real good version of Chris Sale. But the Yankees are in a somewhat similar situation as well. There's question marks, but they got a much better bullpen. The offenses match up really well. And this is going to get good. And if the Yankees win tonight, man, there is going to be full-blown panic in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, CG, I agree with that. But that thing about David Price, and I'm a David Price guy. I really like him. But is it just one of those things? I mean, how the hell do you explain a guy who's that good, who's had that kind of success, being 0-9 in 10 postseason starts? How do you explain that? And then how would you go about addressing it? Like, if they could fix it, they would, he would. But how do you address that? What do you do?
Tough, because you figure the more you talk about it, the worse it gets, right? If you sit there and talk about it, and a guy in his head, he's like, yeah, you know, not that he needs that reinforced. He already knows what's going on. And so trying to talk a guy through that is a real challenge. Now, he's had a couple of good starts. I think good enough starts where, you know, 6 innings, 3 runs, he had a couple of those. But they just ended up being losses because he wasn't getting any run support. His first 3 starts, he got a combined 2 runs of run support. And he's got now, I guess it's 4 starts where he got 0 run support. So that's been part of it, but it doesn't matter. 6 ERA is a 6 ERA. So as far as the wins go, the times that he's pitched decent, he hasn't been able to get himself a win. And then there's been the blow-up starts. So last two, an inning and 2/3. You go back to 2 years ago, it's 3 1/3, and it's been a real struggle. Trying to talk him through that, though, is tough. You know, he's a guy that is not afraid to throw a lot of strikes. Boston's just not a good fit for him as far as that ballpark goes. The Yankees have been a disaster for him. Most of what he throws is really hard, and it's in the zone. And even though he can light up some guys when he's hitting his spots, he does have a smaller margin for error when he's got so many pitches that are somewhat similar in velocity. And I think that's probably been the bigger issue, is that when you go against postseason lineups, you're usually facing the best. Not that he can't be a good lineup. He can, but it just hasn't worked out at all.
CJ Nikowski joining us. All right, really quickly to the Dodgers, who you mentioned. Game 4 of that series is this afternoon. Ronald Acuna Jr. had a grand slam in the second inning last night that gave Atlanta a 5-0 lead, played a huge role in keeping their season alive. What did you make of that at-bat in particular, and how the 20-year-old has shown up so far this year?
Well, what's great about what we have going on in the game right now is we've got a lot of these young studs that are not scared at all. And you think about, hey, a guy breaks in, you got to give him a little bit of time. And it's no accident, I think, that a lot of these players that are really comfortable are coming from Latin American countries. And it's just fun to watch. I mean, they come with energy. They're not scared at all. And it's just been a really nice trend, I think, good for the game and good to see guys like him. First of all, the 3-0 pitch was a ball. So we should have walked with the bases loaded. It wasn't even close. And Gary Sheehan called it a strike. We were all kind of up in arms watching it at the time. And then all of a sudden he gets himself another strike and he hits it out of the ballpark. That's a really good example, I think, of a young player that you would expect otherwise to maybe get worked up about the previous call, maybe overswing, maybe chase a pitch, whatever it is, but he stays within himself and he just absolutely crushes the ball, because the ball doesn't really carry out of SunTrust right now as much as it did a year ago. And he's fun to watch. And it's unfortunate the Braves did what they did as far as holding him back at the beginning of the season. They waited about 3 weeks to call him up, but you got to kind of let that go. They'll have him for 7 years under control now because of it. But he's a special player, and I know he made the error later and he got a little bit overexcited on the ball. He didn't need to. But this guy is just really fun to watch. He's hit at every single level that he has been at. It's been phenomenal to watch, and not surprising at all to see him come through in a clutch spot in the postseason already.
All right, so Houston-Cleveland, game 3 underway already. The Astros win the first 2 games. Cleveland, CJ, hitting only .100 in the series. That's the lowest batting average of any team in a divisional series since 1995. How do they go about turning this around, or when you look at what Houston's doing, is it just not possible?
So the issue they have, of course, is they're going up against incredible pitching, right? And so that's the real problem for them in trying to figure out how do you do this. Now, they're a team that doesn't strike out a lot. Whenever I see a lineup that doesn't strike out a lot, you think, okay, they'll be able to match up well against good pitching. But that pitching has actually struck out more Indians than they usually do. So it's, you know, it's Verlander, it's Gerrit Cole, it's putting some of their starters in the bullpen like they did a year ago with the Astros. It's a scratch and claw situation. I don't think you're going to see any kind of big runs scored here. So actually what ends up happening for me is there's more pressure on the pitching to keep it close just because the offense is struggling so much. So Clevinger goes today. So far he's looked really sharp through a couple of innings. They're going to need that. That has to stay. I got to imagine Trevor Bauer probably plays a pretty big role in this because as good as Clevinger has been so far, and obviously this is a must win, he has struggled against the Astros in his two starts this year. So first sign of trouble, he's probably out of there. So I think a little bit more pressure on the pitching, knowing not that you're ever expecting the Indians to explode offensively as good as they were this year. I mean, the Astros are just so tough, both sides of the ball, but their pitching is filthy, especially in the rotation. And when you can start Dallas Keuchel third as a former Cy Young Award winner in a postseason rotation, you know you're dealing with some legitimate depth.
Listen, as good as you are on baseball right now, and maybe nobody's better at this point, you might be better at life. I have to ask you, you hit up a cryo chamber recently. I've got to know, what was that like? How did that go? What did that do for you?
So I love this. So David Kaplan from works at the Chicago market, does pre and post for the Cubs. We had him on Raider, and he was talking about it, and he's got a ton of energy, and he gave a real good sales pitch. He wasn't trying to get me to go. Just him listening to him describe it, I was like, I got to try this. I loved it, man. I'm in. I mean, it's like 3 minutes. It's a really fast 3 minutes. And you walk out of there and you're freezing cold, but it's not like going in a cold tub. Like, you know, as an athlete, I've been in a cold tub plenty of times, and I always like the feeling when you get out of it. And my wife did it too, and she was scared to death because she hates anything that's cold, and she was still kind of iffy on it. But I walked out of there without a doubt with some endorphin release. You feel a little bit colder in some areas than others, and that kind of reminds you of where you maybe need to drop a couple of pounds, which is always kind of nice. I felt like I could just have like knocked my love handles right off because they were ice cold. But it was cool. I enjoyed it. I will be back. It's good for recovery. I felt good the rest of the day. You know, it's like anything, right? It's almost like going to the chiropractor. Like, oh, you really need to go a lot to get the full effects, and I guess I'm probably going to fall into that trap.
All right, so is it uncomfortable? Is it painful? Is it hard? It's 3 minutes.
Rotate. They rotate you like every 30 seconds. The girl that's in there with you standing in the room is having small talk with you just to make sure you don't pass out or anything. And then you kind of rotate around. It's near the end. When she tells you like 20 seconds left, you're like, all right, please be the fastest 20 seconds of my life. You start to feel it a little bit. It's really, really cold. But it's not like putting your hand in ice water. You know, like that kind of where your skin gets really cold. It almost feels like it's burning. It's not that. It's your whole body that gets really cold, but it's pretty cool, man. I mean, you know, all the stuff that we read, and everything's supposed to be great for you for every single reason, right? Joint pain, feel better, live longer, sleep better, all the stuff that we always hear. Cryo makes all those claims as well, but I just love the way I felt when I walked out of it.
Yeah, and plus you got to keep doing it. All right, so one last thought. I'm in my heaviest part of my travel schedule, so I've got to know, where do you come out on flip-flops? Flip-flops on an airplane. What do you make of people who rock them on an airplane, and then what do you make of people who take them off?
So I actually had a guy send me a picture the other day of a guy with flip-flops and then flipped them off right next to him. So I don't want to see you bare feet. That's the problem. I don't think anybody really wants to see them. And remember that, you know, we're on a plane. We're in close quarters. To me, it's an awful thing to do. And then you take it to another level when you then cross your legs or put your foot on your knee, and now your foot's like hip height. Like, that's where that should be a violation. I always wish that airlines would just kind of make that as a public service announcement. I guess they're afraid to offend anybody, and everyone's got to be careful what they say. But I would love to see one airline step up and say, we do not allow, at least for men, open-toed shoes. I understand with the ladies, and they got way more footwear options than we do and why they may want to go that route, and I can tolerate that, but I don't want to see a dude's feet.
10-year MLB vet, ninth pick overall in the 94 draft, and as you heard, once again, America's foremost expert on travel etiquette. We will, CJ, we're going to hit that every single time because there are so many questions that need to be answered when it comes to traveling, and you are the nation's foremost expert. Great to have you back, CJ. Appreciate you very much.
My pleasure, Jim. Take care, man. Have a good day.
Dude, you are so good. CJ Nikowski, and he as good as anybody is on baseball, but maybe even better on life. I've never gone in one of those cryo chambers. People rave. People talk about them. I've never done that. The benefits are obvious. And I would imagine like anything else, like he said, if you want to get the max benefit, you have to keep doing it over and over and over again. I don't know where to find one. I've never been in one. I would imagine they work. I may have to go the cheaper, old-school route and just go ice tub. All right, so we are open right now for the rest of the program. Meaning, if you've been trying and couldn't get through, do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. The Chiefs coming up big defensively. If that's the way they're going to show up every Sunday defensively and they don't need Patrick Mahomes to put up 40 on people to win, look the hell out. UFC 229, did you see it? What do you make of it? What do you think about the fight? What do you think about the aftermath of the fight? Is that the first time you've seen a UFC or MMA event? If so, what did you think? On top of that, when we come back, America's team. Man, I caught heat when I made that statement on NFL and CBS. I said it before the game. I said I'm breaking down the AFC North. There's a lot of really interesting things about this division, but the division is about the Cleveland Browns. They're America's team. And people were clowning me, and I caught heat for it. And then what happened? They beat the Ravens. And weren't the Ravens the alleged most complete team in the AFC going into that game? How do you like me now? Nobody's laughing at me now. Cleveland! This is for you! God, that had to feel good. We'll hit that next, and we'll take your telephone calls. Once again, do not forget about the RPO. All football, the entire podcast, with a two-time Super Bowl champ who's got a bad attitude and good takes and great stories. Trevor Price, right after the show. Look for that. We're coming right back. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
My thanks to CJ Nikowski. He's a rare dude now. And what I mean by that, and to me, this is the highest praise. If you didn't know who he was, and you listen to him talk baseball, and the way he presents himself and the topic on this show, you'd probably think to yourself, that is an extremely polished broadcaster. As somebody who's been in this game and who's broadcasted now for 30 years or so, I'm here to tell you, this guy comes off and sounds like as polished a broadcaster, a professional broadcaster, not a former athlete, but a professional broadcaster, as polished as anybody could sound in our business. That good at what he does. Except he is a former athlete. And a very good former athlete. Somebody who played the game at the highest level. Somebody who was a top 10 pick in the draft. So an extremely accomplished athlete who sounds like an extremely polished broadcaster. He is so good at what he does. And very smart and really funny. Very knowledgeable and extremely smooth. My other favorite thread right now is the one involving wrestler Carl Anderson. I had retweeted his tweet and then talked about him on the show, and he just tweeted back, quote, "Thanks for the love, good brother Romy. Headed to Louisville for WWE Live tonight at the KFC Yum Center. I'm glad that right before I left the house, I caught Adam Hawk giving Alvin the same eyes I give my hot Asian wife. Hashtag war one final Cincy tour stop." Good brother Carl, I got to ask you. Brother. Dude, you were not at that tour stop that we had in the Natty, were you? I mean, are you asking that I bring back the tour stop one more time and that I do it in Cincinnati? I mean, it's got to be that, right? You were not at the tour stop. We had a tour stop in 2003 at the Cintas Center. We had a tour stop back in the Natty. Torrential downpour, as I recall, in 2003. Either way, I love that he's hitting me up on the way to WWE Live. In Louisville. Man, I love Kentucky. I like Louisville a lot, but you know I'm all about Lex Vegas. All about Lexington. At Brian C60 tweets, Jim, can the ultimate cooler Adam Hawk trade his CR hat since they're done to a Braves A hat? We think it stands for Adam. Signed, Dodger fans. Speaking of the Rocks, Rocks had a great run. Rocks had a great year. You know that heat that the BIC takes, Brad and Corona? Yeah, sure, he wins a smack off every other year. But his next sports take will be his first sports take, that this guy wins the smack off and doesn't know jack about sports, never talks sports. Fact of the matter is, this guy not only called in 5 days ago and talked sports, he called his shot 5 days ago when he said this.
Kyle Freeland has no idea who you are, and the Rockies have 3 games left in their season.
Brad and Corona called that shot. The Rocks, who were as hot as anybody going into the postseason. He just said, hey, Hawk, Kyle Freeland has no idea who you are, and they've got 3 games left in their season, and he was right. So not only is he the best caller in the history of the program, the guy does know sports. The guy does have sports takes, or a sports take. He nailed that. And so the Brewers advance. Thinking about whether or not to take a phone call. Have we had one today? I don't think so. I have not taken a phone call yet today, but if I'm going to take a phone call, it may as well be from a 57-year-old grandmother who bought that fight, who lives in Bakersfield. I love me some Bako. Let's go there. Tracy in Bakersfield. Tracy, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. It's you know what? We need to have Dana add about 3 feet to that cage up on top so that people can't jump out. But besides that, you know what? I love McGregor and stuff, and I am ready for the rematch.
All right, Tracy, so you're a 57-year-old grandmother who bought that fight and you love McGregor. Why do you love McGregor? What do you love about McGregor?
I love his swagger, the way he walks, and the way he talks. He will talk smack and get up in your face, and I like it.
Have you bought his whiskey yet? Have you tried that?
No, I don't drink.
Okay, all right. So who did you watch that fight with?
My husband.
Okay. Is he a McGregor guy, too?
Oh, yes.
So what did you guys think when he got choked out?
Oh, I was very upset. Didn't believe it.
Would you pay for a rematch between those two, and do you think it would go any differently?
Yes, I would, and I think it would go differently. I think that McGregor would whoop his ass.
All right, Tracy, one last thought. Have you long been an MMA fan, or is this more of a Conor McGregor thing?
No, I've been watching you guys since you got started and stuff. Almost 10 years.
How long?
Almost 10 years.
10 years. All right, then. All right, yes. Tracy. You got it. All right.
Yes, my grandkids and stuff got me into it.
Nice. Well, I love it. Listen, great to have you on. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And that's what I'm talking about. Your demo. You don't know what your demo is. You don't know what their demo is. You don't know what your demo is. That's a 57-year-old grandmother who's all about Conor McGregor. And when I said why, she said, because I love his swagger. I love his attitude. I pay for a rematch. Quote, he'll whoop his ass in a rematch. A 57-year-old grandmother in Bako. Bakersfield is Central Cali. Clones, don't do it. Leave her alone. I thought that was cool. I thought that was really cool. Any of you buy Connor's whiskey? I had a few boys that tried to get it. It's hard to find, apparently. Hard to find because people are buying it up. 1-800-636-8686. Clones. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. JTP. Look, I can't tell you what to do. You're going to do what you do. You're going to always do what you do. I can't tell you what to do. I'm just going to ask. Leave her alone. Tracy's cool. That's good. A 57-year-old grandmother who loves Conor McGregor, who watched that fight. We'll come back one last segment. C-Town, why am I not getting any respect or any love or any credit from you? I put myself way the hell out there for you on national TV. And believe me, I took some when we went to break. The guys were laughing at me, not with me. And then the Browns picked me up, which I loved. All right, so America's team. I called my shot. They're America's team. Then they go out and they shock the world. They didn't find a way to lose. They found a way to win. They found a way to finish. They beat a good Ravens team. I'm going to say a very good Ravens team. A team that was highly ranked on both sides of the ball coming in. A team that many thought was the most complete team in the NFL. They beat them in OT. We're talking Browns football next segment. But first, I do owe you a sports update. Here it is. Jay Berman anchors this one.
Sports Flash.
All right, Jim, we'll start with baseball. Division Series, three games today, the first of which has reached the third inning. Astros and Indians in a game three. They are scoreless. Houston leads the series 2-0. But as we speak, the Astros have the bases loaded and two outs in the top of the third. Marwin Gonzalez at the dish. Mike Clevenger, the starter for Cleveland. Dallas Keuchel for Houston. Again, the Astros threatening, but it's scoreless in the third. Game two of the day will get underway at 4:30 Eastern time between the Dodgers and Braves from Atlanta. The Braves got back into the series last night. Dodgers lead it 2-1. And then the nightcap, a pivotal game three between the Red Sox and Yankees. Series tied at a game apiece. Eovaldi and Severino are your starters. We do have Monday Night Football tonight as well. Redskins and Saints from New Orleans. Saints are 3-1. They are 6-point favorites heading in. Afternoon hockey. Islanders lead the Sharks 1-0 in the second. Bruins lead the Senators 2-1 in the second. I'm Jay Berman.
Hey, it's Bill Ryder. Join me on Ryder Than You today at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. We'll recap all of the weekend's NFL and MLB playoff action.
Something else I did not get to today, but I'll get to tomorrow. This guy's hitting on it. Rome, I know saying something sucks is not a take, but damn, the Raiders really do suck. The fact that they're paying Chucky $100 million to be this bad is hysterical. How these clowns beat Cleveland, who actually look like an NFL caliber team, is baffling. War Raiders suck. Chargers rule. Dan in Richmond. You're baffling is one way to put it. Raider fan's got to be so angry. In fact, I know Raider fan is because I see Raider fan all the time. Raider fan is constantly. Raider fan does one of my favorite things. When people roll up on me in public and say, hey, Rome, what's your take on insert whatever? Almost inevitably, they don't give a damn about my take. That's their way of setting up their take. Hey, Rome, what's your take on the Raiders? They don't care. They just want to let me know what their take is. And I get it. I'm fine with that. That's great. So I'll give them some kind of half-baked take where I half-sell it because I know that they just want to wait until I'm done talking, and then they let me know. This has been happening time and time again since John Gruden got hired. And every single time a Raider fan says to me, what's my take? They light him and them up. So I meant to get to that today. I've got thoughts on the Raiders. I'm probably not going to get to it today. I'll get there. Tracy, you sound like a tough grandma. You sound like a tough gal. You sound like a really tough person. If you're really tough, go ahead and look at your phone. If you're not, don't pick it up. Because things like this are showing up. At Hitman Canadian, Tracy doesn't drink, but she speaks through that hole in her neck. We thank her for her lifelong support. Signed, Marlboro Red.
No, I don't drink.
Quote, but she does drink through that hole, or she doesn't drink, but she speaks through that hole in her neck. Man, some of you kids probably will not recall. Who will ever forget seeing that commercial? That's something you cannot unsee. The person with the hole in their neck. Go look it up. That's what this guy's talking about. At JohnDL91 tweets, Tracy doesn't smoke. That's just her regular voice. Signed, cigarettes. At DLH1029 on Twitter, only a woman from Bakersfield could chew tobacco and have a conversation without spitting once during the conversation. I thought I said leave her alone. I thought I said don't do it. Why do I think there's more where that came from? Why do I know there's more where that came from? Why do I know that I'm going to hear the Batman theme any second now?
I'm Batman.
That's why. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, of course Tracy loves MMA. She sounds like she's been in a few Walmart parking lot fights in her day. Tracy, you have elevated the conversation. Alvin, you racked her, right?
Whoop his ass.
This email says, Graham Gano, all systems go. NASA, you are clear for liftoff. Graham Gano, bye-bye, giant bitches. War 63-yard game winners.
Snap, spot. Gano's kick is long. It's end over end, and this kick is good.
Oh, he did it. He did it.
Unbelievable.
That was an amazing kick. That was an absolutely astonishing kick. Ask Odell's face. So amazing. Let's get the ATP in here. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dear Jim, the scene at UFC 229 was absolutely crazy. I know you used to go to a ton of big fights. What is the craziest thing that you saw in your days of attending main events? Saw a lot of amazing, crazy things at the fights back in the day. The craziest thing I ever saw, and I'm not sure you know about this. I'm not sure you remember this. This was a thing. This actually happened. And in fact, my wife Janet was with me for this fight. I once saw one fighter bite another fighter's ear off. Now, I was in attendance the night that Mike bit down on Evander's ear. I was there that night. So that scene was wild. The scene in the aftermath of that fight where they were channeling and pushing everybody through the casino was wild. You might recall there were some champagne bottles that popped and folks thought they were gunshots and guys were ripping chips off of tables and they were caught on the casino cameras doing that. Some athletes were involved. We were there that night. That was a wild night. That was a scary night. But I was in attendance. Janet and I actually got tickets and saw that fight where Mike bit down on Evander's head. So that's a really easy one to answer. I was there that night. I've been to a lot of fights in a lot of venues. Atlantic City, Vegas, Los Angeles. I had never seen anything like that before in my time. I was there the night where Michael Moore was beating the hell out of George Foreman. Picking him apart, beating him up, and it seemed like the worst idea ever. How do you stick that young guy in against that old guy, only to see Gorge drop him? That was an amazing thing to see, too. Okay, I'm trying to get to America's team. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, if none of what happened on Saturday night happened, then I would have started the show. I mean, here we are in the last segment of the show, and I still haven't gotten to it yet. I would have started the show. I would have started this show on a Monday with the Cleveland Browns because over the weekend, I did fly to New York to appear on the NFL Today on CBS. It's an amazing experience every single time. So many true pros are there. And when you go there and you walk on that set, you better show up big. So I went big. I took a big swing. I declared before a nation and the world that the Cleveland Browns are, in fact, America's team. Now, I'm not doing that because I'm some sort of shock jock. I'm not doing that to get some run. I'm not doing that to try to get viral. I'm doing it because I believe it. Because I had seen every one of their games this year, and I was riveted. They went from being, the Browns, they went from being the least interesting team in the history of the game to the most exciting team in all of sports. So going into yesterday, all four of their games had people talking, had people tripping. Now you can make it 5-for-5. They were down 3-0 in the first half. They scored a TD. They missed the point after. 6-3 Browns. In years past, that would have come back to bite them. Brown's going to brown. Brown's going to find a way to lose. That's what we have always said in years past. But they keep grinding. They keep chopping. With the score tied at 9, with 9 seconds left in regulation, they had a chance to win this thing. Now, I know kicking has been a major topic in the NFL this year, and the Browns are a big part of that. But Greg Joseph lined up for a 55-yarder. An entire city waited to party. Roll it.
From 55 yards away, Joseph, no chance. Wide left.
Again, in years past, it would have come back to bite them in the ass, guaranteed. That would have been the second case of Brown's gonna brown in this game alone, from this kicker alone. But all that was a minor setback for a major comeback. These are not the same old Browns. These are the new look Cleveland Browns. This is America's team. And they showed it when they got the ball late in overtime on their own 16. Less than 3 minutes to go. They were in a deep hole. They made it deeper by losing 11 yards on a failed reverse on their first play. Stop me if you've heard this before. But in years past, that would have come back to haunt them. But not this year. Not this time. Second and 21 from his own 5. Baker Mayfield picks up 13 on a scramble. Then he hits Derek Willis for a 39-yard gain. Then Duke Johnson rushes for 15. Duke Johnson for 5. Duke Johnson for 4 yards down to the Baltimore 19. Cleveland calls timeout. They stop the clock. They set the stage for this. Cleveland, this is for you.
This is to win it. Snap is back. Ball down. The kick on the way. Line drive. The kick is good. With 2 seconds left in overtime, the Browns have won it. A line drive that almost had yellow paint on it as it went over the crossbar. And the Browns beat the Ravens.
Browns radio. Cleveland 12, Baltimore 9. Browns win. Browns win. One of the ugliest kicks you will ever see, and one of the most beautiful sights these eyes have ever seen. That knuckleball would have made Tim Wakefield proud. The celebration was incredible, and it set off one hell of a party. Yes, I know it's Cleveland's first Sunday win in nearly 3 years, but I and my fellow Browns fans don't want your patronizing stats. We know something you don't know, and that's that the Browns are 2-0-1 at home. The factory of sadness has been shut down. The house of pain has been opened up. You come into that stadium against this team, and you better be prepared to leave with a loss or a tie. This is not smoke and mirrors. Man, this is not luck. The only luck element here is the bad luck that means they're not undefeated. That's all because they've got a monster defense. They've got a stud in Baker Mayfield who threw for nearly 350. They had 2 more takeaways. That gives him an NFL best 15 on the season. Denzel Ward is ridiculous. He was part of a defense that held the Ravens to 4 of 16 in third down conversions. They just handed a loss to a very good Ravens team. And Baltimore did just about everything right on that field goal block. They got penetration. They got hands up. But it wasn't enough because Cleveland is different. Trust me, Baker Mayfield said as much afterwards. And they are. I'm telling you, it's a cosign. They're the Believeland Browns. They're starting to see it in themselves. They're starting to see what I've seen for a long time. I'm going to say it again. I said it before that game on national television. I'll say it again right now on national television. The Cleveland Browns are America's team. They are. Way to pick me up, fellas. Way to make me look good, fellas. But I knew you would. I knew you would. If you're a contractor, a builder, or a remodeler, listen up because Lumber Liquidators is about to make your job a whole lot easier. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that gives you, the pro, exclusive deals and services for all of your professional flooring needs. Put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com/prosales. lumberliquidators.com/prosales. My thanks to Jason Lockenfora, Kevin Ioli, CJ Nikowski, the RPO podcast dropping in a couple of hours. Look for it. See you then. We're out.